Good morning. First of all, as a point of clarification, my name is not Dr. Mary Lynn Polk. I'm Larry Moore, Director of Music Ministries here. Mary Lynn is recovering from rotator cuff surgery and will be recuperating for a couple of weeks. We hope that she will return very quickly. Would you please stand and greet each other in the name of Christ? As is our tradition here at Main Street, we begin with our hymn of preparation, Lift High the Cross. The words are found in your bulletin. I want to call your attention to the back of the bulletin. There are several announcements that need special attention today. First, that during communion and then again at the end of the service, the youth will be stationed on either side of the chancel and at the end of the service at the exit doors, giving you an opportunity to make a contribution for that is part of Super Bowl Sunday. This has become a tradition in many Methodist churches and other denominations also, and this monetary contribution is then donated to the local chapter of Meals on Wheels. The second thing is you will also notice that today is Golden Cross Sunday. There is information there about the good work that the Golden Cross organization does. Not mentioned on the bulletin, but Jessica asked me to mention this, that next Sunday the youth will be sponsoring a bake sale, which will the proceeds from that will help to go defray expenses for two back-to-back worship opportunities, back-to-back weekend worship opportunities that they have coming up in March. More information about that can be found in our brand new newsletter, The Connection. So please be sure and refer to that when you get home. Today is, of course, Super Bowl Sunday, and as a result, many of the typical Sunday afternoon activities have been changed. There will be no Wesley Ringers or Salt and Light rehearsal and no youth activities. Instead, there is a Super Bowl party and some other activities that you are invited to take part in as your schedule permits. Later in the service, we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion. The United Methodist Church practices what is known as an open table. That means that you do not need to be a member of this church or a member of any United Methodist Church, or for that matter, not even officially a member of any congregation anywhere, in order to participate in the celebration of Holy Communion. For you see, it is not our table. It is Christ's table. And it is He that invites you to dine with Him and to remember and renew the covenant. So everyone is welcome at this table. With that in mind, I ask you now to center your hearts and minds as our acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Good morning. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? The world belongs to God, the earth and all its people. How good and how lovely it is to live together in unity. Love and faith come together. Justice and peace join hands. If the Lord's disciples keep quiet, these stones would shout aloud. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of invocation found in your bulletin. Creator God, how lovely is the dwelling you have made for us. You who create all things, we gladly awaken in your presence. You are our maker, our host, our home. Risen Christ, how lovely is your dwelling with us. You invite us to feast at your table, to be nourished by your teaching, to be healed by your grace, and to share in this banquet of life with all the other poor sinners of this world. You who taught and healed, you who died and were raised, you who are the bread of life, feed us with your presence, fill us with your spirit, and lead us by your word. We desire with all our heart and mind and strength to die and live with you in the mystery of eternal life. Holy Spirit, love of God, how lovely is your dwelling with us. Wisdom of God, how gracious is your invitation to feast at your table. You make of us one body, the body of Christ. God, we give our hearts to you, that by your grace we may devote ourselves to lives of compassion, justice, and joy, for the sake of the transformation of the world. in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 27 through 31. Listen now for a reading from God's Word. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 147, the first 11 verses. I invite you to join in the singing of the refrain, and we will begin with Joyce playing that refrain at this time.
All who are able, please stand for the gospel lesson. Today's gospel lesson is from the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Holy God, from our hands to the throne of God, we give these gifts that they will be used for the furtherance of the blessed good news of Jesus Christ, to touch those in need, those who have no food or no clothes or no home. Oh God, we pray that your blessings will rest upon these as they leave this sanctuary and go out into the world. Bless giver and gift, those who have not, and those who chose not to give this day. It is to you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's message.
The children are coming down. I just remind you to bring your cash and change forward for the Heifer International project that the children are doing. Good morning. How are y'all doing today? What's today? Communion, yeah. Super Bowl. You would think I'm going to talk about Super Bowl this morning, but I'm not. Throwing you a wrench into the plan, you might would think I'm going to talk about that. I want to focus on the gospel lesson this morning because it's really important for me personally. How many of you, during the week, sometimes you feel like you're just going, and you're going to soccer practice or dance practice or baseball, or your parents have to go to this or that, or you have to go to school, and by the end of the week, you just feel worn out. Yeah? This is a busy time of year, isn't it? Because we have so much going on, even in the life of the church. I call today's one of my marathon days because I have so much going on. And so by the end of today, I just feel like I need to go home and recharge my batteries. Do you ever feel like that? Well, Jesus did that. Believe it or not, Jesus actually needed to recharge his batteries. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus was doing Jesus things. And he had been going out and teaching and healing people and casting out demons. And doing all of that can wear you down, can it? I mean, just imagine Jesus being Jesus. And he went to, whose house did he go to? Simon and Andrew's house. And people in the town found out that he was there. Somehow they found out he was there. And so the townspeople went there and they were, you know, requesting all of these things of him. And he just felt really stretched in different places. And so by the end of that night, you would think that Jesus went, you know, and slept like a baby. Wouldn't you think he would do that? Well, Jesus got up really early the next morning. I don't know about you, but I'm not a morning person. And I don't like to get up very early in the morning, and especially if I've had a really long day the day before. And so I can't imagine being like Jesus and waking up very early in the morning. But Jesus woke up very early in the morning, and he went out and found a quiet place to pray. And he just felt like he needed to go and recharge his spiritual batteries. So he went out, and people couldn't find him. You see, Jesus knew that just as our bodies needed recharge, so does our spirit. And Jesus knew that it was important for him to spend each day talking to his Father if he was going to have the spiritual strength to do what his Father had sent him to do. And that's what we need to do too, because we strive to be like Jesus, to imitate the things that Jesus does. And so we need our spiritual batteries recharged. That's why it's important for us to pray every day. It's important for us to come to Sunday school on Sunday mornings and church on Sunday mornings and even Wednesdays. Sometimes Wednesday nights we feel like we need to just come and be in fellowship with other people and to have our batteries recharged. So remember that as you are feeling the busyness of the week or the busyness of the day. And maybe you just need to even take a step back from the things that you're doing during the day and find a quiet place and pray. It's that simple. Would you pray with me as we recharge our batteries this morning? Heavenly Father, help us to remember that just as our bodies must be renewed by proper rest, our spirit must be renewed by spending time with you in prayer, Bible study, and worship. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, may the meditations of my mouth and of my mind and the words of my mouth be found acceptable in your sight. As I prepare to proclaim your message, your word, the good news of Christ, we pray for those of our church family, Elmer Schaubel, Holden, and Shell, that you will be with them and touch them. Holden, as he prepares for surgery, and Shell, as he recovers from illness, and let your grace and love be with us in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And while we are mentioning praying for those in need, I will be going into the hospital on Thursday to receive a precautionary surgery. They will be installing in me a defibrillator and a pacemaker, not because of anything that is going on inside of me as of right now. Right now, everything is really, really good. I just had a physical. If you don't believe it, ask Mark. But there is a reality that with somebody with my history and the history that is in my family, that there may be a need for something like this in the future, and it's an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure type of mentality. So I'll be out of circulation for about a week and won't be able to play golf for about 6 weeks. So I just have to see how my rod and reel works and get out and do a little. But I would appreciate your prayers, and I know Linda would as well. The passage of Scripture that we have read today is a continuation of Jesus as he begins his earthly ministry among us. You remember the reading last week where Christ went into the temple and there was the man possessed of the unclean spirit, and Jesus told him to hold his peace and come out of him. And here was a man that was in a place of worship, and it gives you good indication that the devil goes to church, maybe. There's a book that was in my library for some time. I haven't seen it lately, so I must have let somebody borrow it or give it away or sold it in the yard sale or something, called The Devil and Mrs. Church. And the reality, I think, is that for whether men or women, that as we can reflect on our own personal journeys, that we can think, how many times have we come to church with the proper attitude? Or have we been around individuals that have been so negative in their conversation that they have affected how we felt in worship? And so Christ leaves that environment and he arrives at the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I think many times about Simon Peter being the first Catholic pope, and if that was his mother-in-law, then obviously he was married, right? Some of you didn't quite catch that, but... But anyway, as I think about him coming to her house, I think about what illness meant in just a few years ago. I remember being in Dr. Morris's class at Emory, and we were talking about the decline of the church. And the reality is that as medicine has improved and in other events in our society, that's when church attendance began to decline. For you see, it hasn't been too many years ago that if you were, say, on the frontier of America and you had a headache was life-threatening. Needless to say, here in this passage of Scripture where Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and that was a good indication that she was really very, very sick, probably going to die. And so we see another indication of where Christ is coming into our world, and he has overtaken the satanic influence in last week's reading. And in this week's reading, we have a foreshadowing of Jesus overcoming death. This morning, as we prepare to come to this altar and to receive communion, we too can think about those areas of our life where we need Christ's touch. And it might not just be for us, but it might be that we would come to this altar and think of others. Of others who need a touch of God's grace. Today, as already been mentioned, is Super Bowl Sunday. And this evening, somewhere probably around 9 o'clock or so, there are going to be some people that are probably going to be out in the street hooping and hollering and screaming because their team won. It's even possible that the police will be needed to restore order. Now, I can't help but to think about how people that are spectators get so excited about those who are really in the game, because I suspect those really in the game and play will be somewhere, maybe with their friends and families, relaxing after a hot shower and thinking about the game, whether they won or lost, in the events that took place during the day. Last Sunday, while we were singing, I think it was Victory in Jesus, that a group of people got up and began to march around the area where we were singing. It brought back some memories to me. Some memories as a young boy being in the old tent revivals and the old sawdust trails. And people experiencing what is called a victory march. Most of these folks were not individuals that had a lot of earth resources, but they were making an effort, however ridiculous it might have been, to proclaim their trust and their dependence upon Christ. I have read about some of the emotional experiences that took place in some of the old Brush Arbor meetings of the old Methodist services of years ago. And some of the actions I won't even get into, because you will wonder what in the world caused people to act in such a way. But I think about those and how they will be acting tonight. Not totally rational. I think about those who in the 60s did a march, and they call them by different names. The March on Selma. Freedom marches. World War II, I remember the troops coming back, and or reading about the troops coming back, and the parades, and the marching soldiers. As I think about these things, I think about my Christian journey and my faith. And Christ comes into this environment where death was imminent, and He speaks life. As we think about Main Street United Methodist Church, as we think about what we would wish for our church, I invite you today to make, as it were, a march of faith as you come down to receive these elements and to proclaim God's healing, to proclaim God's love, to proclaim Christ's victory over all the wickedness and evil in our world, and even over those less than godly attitudes within our own church. That Christ would heal us. That before we can reach out to the world and to others, we must first have Christ abiding within us. That this is a place where the love of God abounds. There are churches that are known by a lot of different names. On my way back from Texas, I noticed the Church of the Cowboys. Well, I knew what that stood for. I remember hearing on the radio station when I was in Atlanta, a preacher who was preaching, and the name of his church was the Church of Atlanta. Well, I know where that's located. Another minister called his church the Church of What's Happening Now. Well, I don't quite know what all that means. The Church of Harley Bicycle Riders. Now, I know what their interest is. There's churches of all different names. What would be the name that we would proclaim if it wasn't Main Street United Methodist? What would we refer to ourselves as? Hopefully, we are the Church of Jesus Christ. The church that proclaims victory in His name. The church where everybody is somebody. The church where people feel love. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, it starts with you and me. That God will use us here and now in this place to touch those who are sick and suffering for the glory of His name. Let us have a victory march this day, proclaiming that Christ indeed is King. I invite you to turn in your bulletin God in Christ breaks down the walls that makes us strangers to ourselves and divide us from one another. We are the body of Christ. Around this table we enact our faith. The body broken is restored to wholeness. Life blood poured out, bringing healing to our world. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good to give thanks, Almighty God. You poured out the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, teaching them the truth of your Son, Jesus, empowering your church for its service, and uniting us as your people. Therefore, in all times and places, your people proclaim your glory in unending praise. Oh, holy, holy, holy God, oh God of time and space, all earth and sea and sky above. We remember with joy the grace by which you created all things and made us in your own image. We rejoice that you call a people in covenant to be a light to the nations. Yet we rebelled against your will. In spite of the prophets and pastors sent to us, we continue to break your covenant. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to save us, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of your favored one, Mary sharing our life. He reconciled us to your love. At the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him, anointing him to preach the good news of your reign. He healed the sick and fed the hungry, manifesting the power of your compassion. He sought out the lost and broke bread with sinners, witnessing the fullness of your grace. We beheld his glory. On the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread. Giving thanks to you, he broke the bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And taking the cup again, he gave thanks to you and sharing the cup with his disciples and said, "This is a cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink from this, all of you. This is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." After the meal, our Lord was arrested, abandoned by his followers and beaten. He stood trial and was put to death on a cross. Having emptied himself in the form of a servant and being obedient even to death, he was raised from the dead and exalted as Lord of heaven and earth. Through him you bestowed the gift of your Spirit, uniting your church, empowering its mission, and leading us into the new creation you have promised. Gracious God, we celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving we may be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight, and that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith.
Sing, Christ has died and Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Sing, Christ has died and Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of this wine we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as a body of Christ for the world redeemed by Christ's blood. As the grain and the grape once dispersed in the field are now united on this table in bread and wine, so may we and all your people be gathered from every time and place into the unity of your eternal household and feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The cup we share is a cup of promise. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat. The banquet awaits. I invite those who are assisting me to come first, and after we have been served, for the choir to come, and then for the ushers to assist the remainder of you. And if there's someone who cannot come and kneel or cannot come to this altar, then we will come and serve you after all have been served. Those assisting, would you come, please?
please join in the unison prayer following communion as printed in your bulletin. O God, we thank you for uniting us by baptism in the body of Christ, and by this meal filling us with joy and hope. Grant that in the days ahead, our lips which have sung your praises may speak the truth. Our eyes which have seen your love may look with compassion on the needs of the world. Our hands which have held this bread and cup may be active in your service. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Third stanza.
The darkness appears, and the light draws near, and the day is past, and gone, and the river of sand, I might
in this place, your healing has begun.
Now begins the healing of the world.
Go in peace.